Hello and welcome to another episode of Now Playing. I'm Arnie.
I'm Marjorie.
And we are here to discuss My Bloody Valentine.
In 3D!
We went and saw this movie on Friday. Now, we did see it in 3D. In your local theater, depending on if you're in a major metropolitan area or not, it may be in 3D or it may be in plain old boring 2D. We had to drive about 2 hours each way to see this movie in its full glorious 3D because it must be at a digital cinema, and screw you, Carasota's Theaters, for ignoring Springfield, Illinois. And even though we have theaters with THX surround sound and stadium seating, digital is too good for us.
It is.
So the entire experience of seeing My Bloody Valentine was about a 6 hour trip. 2 hours there, 2 hours in the theater, 2 hours back. And let me just say, I would love that 6 hours of my life back.
Well, I enjoyed the time I spent with you. However, the best thing about that movie is that it was in 3D. I felt really bad about 5 minutes into the movie for the people who were seeing it in regular projection.
Yes, and I honestly feel that by discussing this movie beyond just putting the words "don't see it" out there for all 2D viewers and in 3D viewers, see it only to see 3D.
If you want to. I mean, it's gimmicky. It really is. The blood splatters that come flying at you look like cartoon blood.
Let's talk about the plot, but be a little spoiler free.
In order for there to be a spoiler, there has to be a plot.
This is, I believe, the third My Bloody Valentine. I was really afraid that having not seen the previous My Bloody Valentine movies, I'd missed something. Because the movie starts 11 years ago, and a miner has gone into a coma.
A miner, not little kid. A guy who mines coal.
Yes.
I should say that. We're not...
Miners, not miners.
We should clarify, when we are saying miner, we mean a guy who is in a coal mine, hence miner.
He's working in a coal mine.
Not a minor.
So the son of the mine owner forgets to bleed the lines.
Whatever that means.
I'm not a miner in either way of phrasing it. So.
Well, he screws up and forgets.
So six people are trapped in the mine. One of them, whose name is
Harry Warden,
decides to preserve his own oxygen to take his pickaxe, because in the 21st century, the most modern tool we have is a pickaxe.
No, that's what they use to mine.
They still use pickaxes? They don't have things like computerized drills?
No, they still have to get the little coal veins out.
No. Well, he uses his pickaxe to kill his five other crash survivors, so he
There's
has
no
oxygen.
Crash.
Well, the crashing of the rocks, the cave-in.
Oh.
And this happened on Valentine's Day. 1 year to the day later, he's in a coma in a hospital. He wakes up from his coma.
Well, he'd been in the coma the whole time.
Right.
From the accident.
Right. So apparently killing the others didn't save him that
it
well.
It did. He's still alive.
But he's in a coma.
Okay, but he's alive.
Do you go into a coma from oxygen deprivation?
Perhaps.
I thought you went into a coma when, accidents.
Let's not.
And if a rock hit him on the head, then how is he alive to kill the other five?
Let's not debate the medical inaccuracies of this movie.
So he wakes up 1 year later on Valentine's Day and proceeds to, for reasons never explained, kill everyone in the hospital.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense because...
With a pickaxe.
Well, I don't know where he got it. Well, we didn't see the pickaxe either.
No, but in a method that would become very common in this movie, he splits a woman from stem to stern, from neck to groin, and takes out her heart. And that's normally done with a pickaxe in this movie.
Well, I don't think that he used a pickaxe to cut that guy in half.
That's true.
What we don't understand is... He wakes up from this coma.
He was a survivalist. He killed the others so he could live. I can get that. I've seen the movie Alive.
They didn't kill people.
They ate them.
But they didn't kill them.
But I understand survivalist nature.
Yes. But there is no method or motive to his killing. He ripped out the heart and put him in candy boxes. And then you've got two cheesy detectives. Or
old
the sheriff.
Guys.
Yeah, really old guys. Just, oh my God. Like, the first 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, this is what I'm in for. This is going to suck.
So he returns to the mine where the cave-in is, where some teens are having a party. And he proceeds to start killing the teens in the mine.
For no reason. None.
Well, I understand that more than the hospital. They're in his mine, a place where he had to kill people.
It does not make any sense.
All right. So he kills teens in very gruesome and bloody ways.
Again, he just kills them. That's it. And one of the kids that is there is the mine owner's son, which I don't think they're really kids. I think they're young or maybe early 20s.
I thought they were kind of high school age and then they're early 20s later in the movie.
No.
No?
No.
They're youngins.
And they're in their early 20s and the son, whose father owns the mine, is going back to this party and he's kind of unsure because of what happened and everything. And his friends, which includes his girlfriend, totally ditch him with the killer. They actually take off in their car and leave him.
And his name is Tom. His girlfriend at the time
is Sarah.
And then his friend Axel leaves him there.
Not Rose.
Not Axel Rose, nor Axel Foley.
That person's not real, though.
Neither is the Axel in this movie.
Oh.
Now we fast forward 10 more years. So we are in our third time period in this movie after having seen, what, 10 deaths, 15 deaths at this point?
The murders are happening again.
Tom has returned to town because his dad's dead and he wants to sell the mine, which pisses off all the local people because all they are miners. And by selling the mine, they're all going to lose their job. And then Harry's back and killing again. But is it really Harry risen from the grave? Because the two old guys say they killed Harry.
Well, and here's where it gets kind of weird. They make this big deal about how the townspeople gathered together and killed Harry and then buried him out in the woods where no one would ever find his grave. Like he's freaking Freddy Krueger or something. Like this big secret killing. One of the guys was a sheriff and his deputy. I mean, for Christ's sake, you killed him. He was killing people. There's no big secret.
He killed like 50 people in one night.
So I don't understand this big, well, we had to bury him. It's this big town secret. Okay, I don't understand that.
Axel is now the town sheriff, but is Axel the killer? He's cheating on his wife.
Okay, in a plot point that makes absolutely, there's no payoff in that because he's cheating on his wife with his wife's employee, who is a very young girl who wears very short skirts, but then there's never anything about that affair really that comes into play in the plot.
Listen, here's the thing with this movie. I equate it to a porno. I've seen better plots in a porno, I'll tell you that much right now. This is just a loosely strung together series of murders with no rhyme or reason. And if I was watching this at home on TV, I'd have turned it off. If I was watching this in a movie theater in 2D, I would have strongly considered walking out. The only thing this movie had going for it were the 3D effects. And every single scene in this movie is an astonishing 3D. Even if there's not something jumping out of the screen at you, you really get the differentiation when they're walking around the trees. It mm-hmm. feels like it's all moving. But this new 3D, this is the first digital 3D movie we've seen other than the Terminator show at Universal and something at IMAX. This is our first digital 3D movie because Carasota's theaters suck. The last 3D movie we saw was Spy Kids 3D, which was still the old red and blue glasses. Mm-hmm. 3D's phenomenal, but there's something about digital 3D. It's like a hologram in front of you, and so it never heightens your experience. It actually makes you feel more removed from the experience, I think, because you're not really in it, and it's all floating around, and it's almost magical and holographic, and it makes me actually feel more detached from the movie, and I feel like all it works as is a gimmick.
Well, and what bothered me, or not bothered me, but I thought was actually really amusing, is they were carding heavy for this movie. And I understand, because it was very gorific.
I'm surprised it wasn't NC-17, but then, you know, I've been watching...
It was no worse.
The show.
It was no worse than Hostel.
Yeah, I've been watching the Friday the 13th films, which barely were R-rated in the 80s, so I'm re-sensitized. But once I started thinking about Saw and Hostel, yeah, this was...
No, nothing. But it was a lot of death count, I guess, yeah. Is the thing.
And very gory. I mean, body yeah. parts and blood flying everywhere, and they spare you nothing.
No, but if you take off your glasses, you can not really watch the movie because it's very blurry. But because they were carding so heavy, there were people sneaking into the movie who didn't have the glasses. So you weren't really gaining anything because the movie was blurry. It's like waking up with pink eye.
Listen, I remember a time not too long ago that I snuck in to see Alien versus Predator, the first one. And you know what? I still paid too much for that movie. And the same thing with My Bloody Valentine. I feel sorry for those in the theater, even if they didn't pay. They still paid for the movie. The only great thing was some of the 3D when the pickaxe comes at you, or there's one astonishing moment where a car hits a tree, and the 3D on that is just tremendously cool. But that's all it is. It's cool. It's not scary. Mm-mm. It's cool. And it's cool in a cheesy, cheesy way that's just gimmicky. And I know a lot of these movies are going to 3D, and somebody is there thinking 3D is going to save cinema from the dastardly home theater. But it's not. It's not heightening my experience. Surround sound heightens my experience. I feel more immersed. This is a gimmick, and it's a bad movie with or without the gimmick.
Oh, yeah. The movie's not good at all, and not going to mince it.
And, all right, let's talk about the ending a little bit. A couple of just minor spoilers. We're not going to give you the whole cake, but we're going to give you a slice of the spoiler cake.
We actually figured out who the killer was rather early on.
It was so blatantly telegraphed that my only hope is that I was wrong. I saw one scene and I'm like, well, he's the killer. But I'm hoping the movie's smarter than to tell us who the killer is in a whodunit 15 minutes into its third time period. And might I notice that everyone dressed the same and looked the same 11 years apart from each other? There was nothing. It wasn't a 90s period piece.
No.
I was hoping that they'd be smart enough to do a fooled you and the killer wasn't who they telegraphed it was. No, it was him. It was him.
Yeah, pretty much. And what's funny is it's almost, well, okay, it is. It's a complete ripoff of Fight Club. However, they did it so poorly that you're just like, huh? And you really hope at the end it's not who you think it is. And then when you find out, you're like, oh, well, that movie really did suck.
I can't recommend this movie at all, really. I think if you wanted good 3D effects, maybe you should see Bolt or something. Or
the Coraline that's coming out.
It looks like it has good 3D.
There was a trailer for a movie called Coraline. I believe it was a Tim Burton movie, wasn't it?
No, it just looked like it.
Okay.
It looked more like James and the Giant Peach,
it's
actually.
An animated movie, and it really looked fantastic in 3D. And
the trailer was the best part of this entire experience.
It really heightened the movie, I felt, rather than be gimmicky because it was animated. I think it really...
I think it works better for animation because you really feel like you're looking at something CG, whether it is or not. So if it's animated already, this may increase it. But for a live action movie, it was, you know, I said it again. I wish I had a thesaurus so I could look up gimmick and use a different word for it each time. But the movie itself sucks. The acting is bad. The writing is lame. The gore is good. So if, again, like a porno, if you're fetishistic about your deaths and want to see blood and body parts splattered into your face, you'll get it.
Coraline was directed by the guy who did James and the Giant Peach, as well as The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Well, there you go.
As well as Monkey Bone.
All right, too much information now. So that's our review. If you want a horror 3D experience, it's not worth the money.
No, I don't know what to tell you.
But I think maybe they'll do better ones later. But all in all, this is a bad, bad, bad movie.
It needs a story.
And when the Raspberry Awards for 2009 come out and this film's just overlooked and they give it to, you know, something Spielberg does, then it's a travesty because this is going to be the worst movie of the year. And it's not even, and I don't want you to see it thinking, oh my God, it's so bad, I must see it. No. It's not even that good.
You equated it to bad porn.
Yeah, it's bad torture porn. Don't see this movie, even for the 3D. However, we have a contest. A wonderful segue. If you're still interested in My Bloody Valentine, we are giving away
Or if you just need a new t-shirt.
We are giving away a My Bloody Valentine t-shirt. What you have to do is tell me what 80s video game came out for the Nintendo in 3D, glasses and all. Email that to show@nowplayingpodcast.com and you can win a My Bloody Valentine t-shirt. And congratulations to our listener, Dan, who was the winner of the Incredible Hulk soundtrack a few episodes ago. That's getting in the mail. So for Now Playing, this was Arnie
and Marjorie,
and we're gonna go try to find a better movie than My Bloody Valentine. Honestly, I think any movie is better than My Bloody Valentine. Spider-Man 3 better than My Bloody Valentine. Now Playing is a Venganza Media production and is copyright all rights reserved.